This episode of Pat Trek is brought to you by Cards Against Humanity. They've asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy the show. We would like to thank the Chicago Podcast Co-op for bringing us that sponsor. The Chicago Podcast Co-op is a collective of excellent podcasts based right here in Chicago. Find out more at chicagopodcastcoop.com.
The late 80s. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the podcast Pat Trek. My continuing mission to introduce my friend Patrick to the best show that ever ran on television. And to boldly go where millions of white guys with glasses have gone before.
Hello, and welcome to Pat Trek. This is the show where my friend Pat O'Rourke introduces me, Patrick Winninger, to Star Trek The Next Generation, a show that I've never seen.
And I have seen a ton of times. And Patrick, we are coming off a hot streak.
Yeah, we had a lot of sets of kills lately.
We have. And we have a review at the end of the show that talks about your theory of grade inflation.
Oh, that's not a theory. It's a real thing.
Well, your approach to grade inflation,
no.
Which me and this reviewer think is complete BS.
Oh, yeah? Well, start your own podcast.
Are you talking to me or to the reviewer?
Everybody.
Well, they
look,
can.
Set to stun is not bad. Set to stun is like a B minus or a B.
But you should... Anyway.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
For later
we will address that in the episode.
We will. We do have a special guest with us today. Grant, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
No problem.
To talk about this episode in particular.
Yeah. Booby Trap. Yeah, you specifically requested this one.
Yeah. I looked at what was coming up in season 3, and then I got a hold of Pat. I'm like, is Booby Trap taken? Can I do Booby Trap?
I think you picked a good episode to be on. There was a lot of...
It's pretty funny.
It's pretty funny.
First, I just want to spend my whole afternoon saying booby as often as possible.
Yeah, that too.
It's the only time they say it in Star Trek, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, probably.
Kirk never said it. I feel like he would have been.
No, he always went with like womanly fullness.
Yeah, it was the 60s. They talked a totally different way.
Well, Grant, something we love to ask people when they're on Pat Trek for the first time is how big of a Star Trek fan are you? Scale of 1 to 10, where would you put yourself?
6, 7, one of the S numbers, I guess.
Gotcha.
No, I'm not particularly big on Next Generation as a show, but I'm really down with original series and the animated series. That's where my...
I've heard that the animated series is actually really, really good.
Yeah,
like, my uncle loves the animated series.
It's fascinating.
That's what I've heard. We may have to get to that at some point then.
Well, Grant, knowing you don't like Next Generation, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, appreciate it.
It's just, for another day.
absolutely. You've tweeted out a couple zingers about Next Gen.
That are
accurate,
mm-hmm.
And we can talk about those later. Let's just say they do get a little full of themselves at times.
Not in this one. This one is free of all my axes to grind.
This one is, it does not take itself.
It brings its own armory.
Right, yeah.
Well, I do have a fun fact.
Oh, yeah? Let's hear it.
We see the final version of Picard's uniform.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, he does wear another alternate uniform at a certain point.
Right.
But the final version of the actual uniform that the whole crew will wear, Picard is wearing in this episode.
How is it different?
Well, it's very minor, but it's got an elastic waistband and smaller shoulder pads.
Got another note from his chiropractor, I guess.
I was told these facts would be fun.
Yeah.
Was that a mundane fact? This episode didn't have very many.
I will try to make up for it with Patrick's log. This is what was going on October 30th, 1989, which is when Booby Trap was first aired. So I found a TV review. TV and video. Pee-wee and J.C. Penney's pair up. There is nothing Pee-wee about the luncheon extravaganza CBS star Pee-wee Herman threw Sunday to launch a new line of Pee-wee Herman brand merchandise for J.C. Penney. Street dancers and acrobats performed in a festive tent next to Pee-wee's Playhouse at the Culver Studios as Herman showed off the the clothing for children and adults, plus linens, dinnerware, toys, greeting cards, and calendars. Proceeds, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, Pee Wee Herman, still a big thing in 1989.
Well, I have to say, I remember that.
I remember that. I watched it every Saturday
morning. I had the drawstring toy.
I did, mm-hmm. too.
And I bought it, and I'm pretty sure it was at a JCPenney.
Yeah. I was 16 months old.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like
so
three.
There's that.
Yeah, we were like three, four.
Three or four.
Yeah. And it was one of my first dolls, and I brought it with me everywhere. And I remember my grandmother hating it. Mm-hmm. Every time I'd pull the thing and be like, I know you are, but what am I?
Yeah.
She'd be that, like, get rid of that doll.
I thought that was the funniest thing in the world. Because I was like 4 or 5 years old when Pee Wee Herman was a big thing.
And I would just pull that drawstring.
God, it is weird that that got to be a big thing. Like,
I know.
You know, leaving us
so silly,
right? Well, like leaving aside the, you know, the porno theater scandal that he had, that at the time it could not be explained to me why Pee Wee Herman wasn't on TV anymore.
Yeah,
and like we'll tell you when you're like 10 years older.
Yeah, I still don't get it. I mean, I get it, but I don't.
What else are you supposed to do at a porno theater?
Well, I mean, yeah, because
it's just he was a kid star, so so it was like scandalous for the time,
right? And
but that Blue's Clues guy was an alcoholic and did all sorts of crazy stuff.
No, that was like a urban legend.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry, Blue's Clue guy.
Yeah, no, there was a scandal because he played like a brutal serial killer on Law and Order at the same time. And people were like, what am I going to tell their kids? It's like, tell him he's an actor. He like pretends for money.
Yes.
Anyway.
This all pales in comparison to the time Jonathan Frakes drowned a man with his bare hands.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what?
I'm just trying to get back on topic. I don't know.
Sorry.
Is that real?
It's not real.
How could he do that with all that lower back pain?
Well, he swung his leg around.
yeah, he did it real cool style.
Yeah. Anyway, Jonathan Frakes, that was fake. That was a joke. Please do not sue us. We should probably get into the episode now. Booby Trap. I love the way that this one starts out.
Yeah.
Jordy is on a date with Christy, the woman that works in engineering with him. They're on a beach. I had to put together, it's like, oh, this is the holodeck, right? And he's, like, offering her these tropical drinks. And she's like, no thanks. And Jordy looks a little disappointed. And then he snaps his fingers and a pirate playing a violin shows up.
Like, damn it, Jordy! What are you doing,
what
man?
She's obviously uncomfortable. He, like, tries
well,
to put her.
This violinist has no concept of personal space.
No! He gets way right up in there. Which I looked up, and he was playing a song by Brahms. So that this will come up later in the episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just annoying her. And
well, there's also something about it not being at all personal.
No.
Like, it is the cheesiest romance ever.
It's like he took a date to Rainforest Cafe is basically what happened. Like, this is the cheesiest date that you can imagine.
And we found out later, he worked on this date for days.
Yeah.
And what he came to was a pirate violinist
this was
on a beach with coconuts full of synthahol.
Yeah, what the hell, Jordy?
That's worse than dinner in a movie.
Ah, man. Look,
can I just holodeck up a Taco Bell or something?
Yeah, exactly.
I'll pick you up at Space 6.
Well, that's the thing. If it's a first date, go get coffee or something with
right.
the lady.
Be chill.
Yeah.
You have a date spot on your ship.
Right. It could be anything
that's
that you
all
want.
It's for.
Yeah.
It could be designed to be a low-key first date, get to know you kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, they already know each other. I mean, as
well, no, what first dates should all be 10 forward.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
Because
exactly.
It's in public with real fucking people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not weird as hell.
And it's super fabricated, like, and right. there's like that implied thing where it's like, we're alone
no,
in
no
here.
No matter how
like,
good your program is, you've locked yourself in a closet with
yeah.
somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's and as we've said many times on the show, the only things that ever really happen in the holodeck are sex and violence. It's just like, yeah, you brought someone to the murder sex room. Yeah. Great. Great first date spot, Jordy.
Yeah.
So it does not go well.
No,
you know,
it
she has, she admits, you know, Jordy, you're a great guy, but you know, I'm just not into you. And he's like, ah, well, damn it. Okay.
He dismisses this pirate.
And, right. He
instantly
makes,
killing him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he also reacts like he's just so grumpy. As soon as she turns him down, he's like, fine, It's like, well, now she's never going on a second date with you.
Well, she definitely wasn't anyway. But
I'm just saying, you could have at least saved the friendship and see what happens in a couple of months.
They still have a working relationship.
Yeah, they got to see each other literally every day.
And he
yeah.
made a move to get physical with her, and he's like, fine, I guess this isn't going to happen.
Also, is he not her commanding officer?
Yeah. Where's HR?
Yeah.
Is that one of Troy's jobs? Is that?
Yeah. It should be.
Yeah. Did they submit a form to go on this shitty date? Do they have to fill out paperwork? And then now they have to fill out paperwork. It's like, don't worry, this is never going to happen again. Well, so that happens. And then we see on 10 Forward, mm-hmm. Data and Wesley, a robot and a 15-year-old, Geordi's two closest friends, are playing a game of 3D chess. And, you know, then they see Geordi comes into 10 Forward, orders a drink, does not look very happy. And Wes is like, uh-oh.
One thing about this chess scene that I like is that you also get introduced to, like, the setting of the episode. They notice this debris field behind them.
Yeah.
And talk about how it's the remnants of this last battle between two ancient space empires.
Right.
It's like, hey, they're playing a war game in front of the like remains of a war.
Whoa.
Whoa. There was a writer here.
Yeah.
It's layered.
I didn't even think about that.
Much like the chessboard. It's,
yeah.
It's layered. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, they're going through this asteroid belt that is...
It's basically a ship graveyard as well, with debris everywhere, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, the aliens were called the Menthars and the Bromelians. I'm mm-hmm. just going to call them the Bromeliads and the Menthols. I don't think they're ever going to come up
Smoking Bromeliads.
Yeah, man.
Wait.
Geordi comes in. He looks upset. He goes to the bar. And Wes is like, oh, no. He's been working on that program for days.
I cannot believe he told all of his friends
his
about
15-year-old friend about this date he was going on to Hard Rock Cafe or whatever the hell it was.
It makes me feel so bad for Geordi.
Yeah.
Like, what a lonely man.
Yeah.
Why would you plan a date where there's nothing to do?
Yeah, that's...
They should have played some skee ball or something.
Exactly.
Go shopping or something.
Take me on a date to like a barcade or you know just like something where you can have a distraction. So if it doesn't go well, at least you had fun doing something else.
Yeah.
He did not do that. So
see, that's why I call this episode the Geordi Year Old Virgin.
Oh no. Poor Geordi.
Oh, it's true though. Well. Wesley and Data, they felt for him.
Yeah, well, they're his buddies.
They're his wingmen.
They're his wingmen. Yeah, where were they? If he was taking this at 10 forward,
yeah,
maybe.
This should have been a triple date.
Right. Data could have played the violin.
Right. He's apparently really good at it.
Yeah, better than the hologram.
Yeah. Well, he did not do that. It just didn't go well. Now we're starting to get into the actual plot of the episode. On the bridge, the Enterprise...
I would like to call this the B-plot. Geordi's story is
Geordi's story
the
A-plot, you think? I guess it kind of depends on your perspective. They spend, like, equal time.
They mm-hmm. do.
The officer staff on the bridge is talking about this battle that happened years and years ago between the Menthols and the Bromeliads.
And not their name.
Well, whatever. Do we see them again?
I don't believe
so. So it doesn't matter. None of this matters. They're the Menthols and the Bromeliads to me. They find this messed up Bromeliad battle cruiser that is falling apart. It's this relic from this 1,000-year-old battle. And they've been getting like a signal this whole time. It turns out this is where that's from. So they've got this like ancient 1,000-year-old signal coming back, finally reaching the Enterprise. And this has happened before, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Like, there was that thing where Data was getting that signal that they thought was super old, and he ended up breaking the Prime Directive because he made friends with a little girl.
Yeah, they totally ditched the Prime Directive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that episode.
That doesn't happen in this one. They just find this old, messed-up battlecruiser. There's no life signs aboard, so no one's there.
But life support still works.
Yeah.
So they're all dead.
They don't make them how they used to.
Yeah.
Well, and this is the thing I keep thinking. They all died because of a system failure.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, once the crew shows up, they could all just walk around the ship.
They got cooked by radiation.
Yeah.
But life support is still on, and that's really but just how they no, explain yeah. away. This is why we won't have to pay money for spacesuits.
Right.
but they got cooked away by radiation.
After like their shields failed and everything.
Yeah, all your energy would have gone away mm-hmm. by the time you got cooked by the radiation.
There is no explanation for why life support should still be on this ship,
no.
other than like, it saves
when
money.
When we get to when the booby trap, like, traps, it
yeah,
this should be impossible.
Right. But the point is, they still have some life support, so if they want to go in there, you know, they'd be fine. For some reason. They wouldn't be eaten alive by radiation. They would still be able to breathe.
The thumb drives gone corrupt, but life support still works.
It makes no sense. But yeah, they find out that the signal that they've been getting is from this 1,000-year-old thing. Picard says something where he was like, it belongs in a museum, which I thought was pretty funny because that's Indiana Jones line. And they mentioned, well, it's a little late for that. Like, it's kind of been here for thousands of years. We're the ones that found it. And Picard is super into the idea of going onto this ship.
Oh, he wants nothing more.
Yeah, because remember, he loves archaeology.
Yes.
And he loves space shit, obviously.
Yeah, he's a space captain.
You're right. So this is like the perfect Venn diagram. If you put a horse on there, man, that would be like everything he's into.
Put the horse in a beret.
Right.
Make it a French horse.
Say some Shakespeare stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But these are at least two of his interests combined. Yeah. So he's like, I'm going on that ship. Riker's like, oh, I don't think that's a good idea. And Picard uses his like captain's privilege to
this
say,
one's mine.
Yeah. She's mine. And he talks about how
he's
it's
about to stuff Riker in like a torpedo tube if he doesn't let him out of his way.
There's no way Riker is able to hold him back.
No.
Because he talks about how this is his ship in a bottle, that he's like had a dream since he was a little boy, because he used to play with ships in a bottle, of like finally actually going into one. Mm-hmm. It's a relic that he gets to explore from the inside. This is what he's always wanted to do.
Great scene here when he turns to Data and Worf and says, you guys remember when you played with ships in a bottle as a kid? And Worf is like, I didn't play with toys. And Data's like, I was never a kid.
Right. They're about to like beam down onto the ship. And then it's just Chief O'Brien is like, oh, I did, sir. Yeah. Of course I played ships in a bottle.
And then Riker gives him this look.
Right.
Like,
it's like you're just kissing ass. And he's like, no, I did. That's all I had to do when I was a kid.
Ships and bottle. They're great.
Yeah. They beam them down, and as you pointed out, Pat, this looks like the battle bridge just kind of
I think it
up.
Might have been shot at a different angle. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find anything to confirm that, but it either looked
it
like that or the Klingon bridge we were on earlier without the red lights on.
I think it's the battle bridge. Mm-hmm. They show up on the ship. They're looking around, and Picard is saying this stuff about how like masterfully designed the bridge is, and you know, this is
a picture of perfect efficiency.
Right, yeah.
Made to last for generations.
Yeah, he's really...
Says a dude holding a tap light because we lost flashlight handle technology in the coming centuries.
They're impressed with the ship, and Worf is impressed that there are these dried-up bodies of aliens at the battle stations. He's like, they died at their stations.
Yeah.
Admirable.
Yeah.
So everybody is impressed with the ship in all the different ways that they are impressed with things. LaForge is back in 10 Forward, and he's drowning his sorrows in a little tiny glass of, I don't know what the hell
it is. He's taking communion.
Yeah. It's a little, like, it's not quite a shot glass, but it's something else of yellow liquid. And Guinan comes up.
It's another tropical drink.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, tropical drinks are sad like drinks in Star Trek.
I guess so. I mean, that's... Yeah, I don't get it. Maybe they have a different concept of vacation there. So Guinan is saying, hey, you know, how you doing, buddy?
I love this scene, by the way.
Yeah, Guinan's
great. One of the best scenes.
Not
in
enough Guinan
in
this show.
Oh, totally.
And he's,
well, because she's too expensive.
Right, yeah, she was a big star.
They can't
at
afford spacesuits, dude.
Yeah.
Which is Whoopi Goldberg in
every single episode, yeah. She basically is trying to get across to him that you tried too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And one of the things he asked her is, like, what's the first thing that you notice about a guy? His head. And he's like, oh, his intelligence. No, his head. I like bald men. And he thinks that's weird. He's like, well, you know, pretty much everyone has their thing. And you just need to realize what your thing is, Geordi. And just be that. Just be Geordi, dude.
I really want you to remember this scene in like 2 seasons.
Okay.
So, like, put it in your permanent memory banks.
All right.
because, you know, I'll forget about it. But when this comes back up, they tie this together really cool.
But yeah. I want you to imagine anyone else from The View playing that role.
Oh,
in
yeah.
this scene.
Joy Behar.
Joy Behar loving bald men.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Back on the ship, Data finds what he calls a memory coil, and they go through this
They're
long...
They're just flameless candles
right.
with, like, metallic purple paint.
They're flash drives, basically. They wouldn't know what flash drives were.
They're little round discs with lights on top. They're just flameless candles.
Yeah. But they're going through this long explanation of what they are, and it's just to explain to the audience, yeah, they got floppy disks on here. That's what that is. It's a portable data thing.
They can hold video.
Right.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's a big deal, 1989. Mm-hmm. But it's got, like, some kind of corruption. They think that they can get some information out of it. So they play it, and Galak Sar, who's the captain of this vessel, he's this kind of fish-looking guy, and he's talking about how the crew did their duty. All of them died, but it was my fault. I take full responsibility for this as the captain. It's still not entirely clear what caused everyone to die. I think at this point they're still assuming it was a battle that did it. But
that would make no sense, because the ship would be exploded.
Well, that something happened, you know, that... They don't know what exactly did this to them.
Food poisoning or something.
Right, yeah.
That would have been one messy bridge.
Oh. They all died at their posts. Admirable. Covered in filth. But yeah, that's where the message ends, and the OA team goes back, and everyone is super pleased with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Counselor Troy's only line in this show, in this particular episode, is remarking how she never sees this side of the captain, because he's like, yeah, finally got to live my dream.
He's beaming.
Yeah. He is very pleased with himself.
Oh, yeah.
Until the power starts going out.
Bum, bum.
Oh, well, boy.
Yeah, they get hit with this wave of radiation
yep.
that also drains their power.
Yeah. And the ship is unable to move, and the shields are starting to go down, even though they're blocking the radiation. But they're in a position where the shields will eventually give way. And when they do, they've got 30 minutes to live. Like, Picard is talking to Dr. Crusher later. She's like, yeah, it'll be a fatal dose in about 30 minutes after the shields give up. So we got to find a way to move.
Yep. And who's going to come to the rescue? Oh. Drunk Geordi!
Hey, it's Sent the Hall, man. He's... Yeah,
I know, but he even says when he's at the bar, "You got anything stronger?" Like, he's implying he's getting drunk.
But can't Synthahol? Can't you just, like, immediately come out of a drunk?
Yeah, I guess.
And you be sober.
Synthahol drives me crazy.
I don't totally understand how it works.
Oh, I love that episode where someone gets driven crazy by Synthahol. They had a weird genetic thing. It's great. It's great.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, but he's in engineering and he's working on trying to figure out a way to get out of here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's some modification that he can do to the engine. He's got to figure out this problem or everyone is going to die. In the conference room, observation lounge thing, officer staff is talking about some kind of way to get out of here. Riker is saying, well, you know, we could go back to the ship and check through all those candles that they had and see if we can piece together some kind of information about what happened. But Worf is saying, yeah, we'd have to do that because all our sensors don't work either. The radiation is screwing up everything on the ship. And while they're doing this, Geordi's still trying to figure out some kind of way mm-hmm. to fix the problem.
He's trying to figure out how to, like, align the crystals better.
Yeah, I don't really know how the engine works, so... Like, pretty much
we went over this.
I know. Yeah, I still don't get it.
But not how crystal alignment has anything to do with anything.
But I think that's...
Because they're made up.
No, it's how... Well, yes, it's made up. As far as we know, it's made up. Not classified government information.
Right.
But it's the crystal matrix and the way that they're aligned is what keeps the fusion reaction mm-hmm. going. And
but if there's a better way to do it, and they know a better way to do it, why isn't it already that way?
Because it burns out component parts. They say that later.
Okay.
Oh.
So it generates more energy, but the ship can't maintain this higher level mm-hmm. of energy without parts breaking.
Okay, so... Yeah, let's get into
Come
that.
Come on, Grant, keep up.
Let's get into that then, because Geordi
that
is...
That didn't happen in the animated series, all right? That's all I'm saying.
Geordi is working in engineering, and he's working with a computer to run these simulations and all this stuff, and he keeps hitting a wall, and I don't know the specific ways in which he's hitting a wall. He's got the problem and he can't figure it out.
But he has a breakthrough. He wants to... he sees a name on these documents.
Leo Brahms.
Tell me everything that Dr. Brahms did.
Yeah. The violin music, by the way, as I said at the beginning, was a Brahms song.
Too proud
of this. It's a little callback. I didn't know that watching it. I had definitely looked this up.
It's recognizable.
It is, but I couldn't. I'm dumb, so I didn't know what the hell it was.
Yeah, I would say that this is my biggest beef with this episode would be all of the sciencing going on. There was so much.
Well,
science.
It makes sense in the world because they're consistent with it, but I have no idea what the hell they're saying.
And it's not the most exciting part of any Star Trek episode.
No.
Is all of the sciencing. We want to see the impact.
It's just gobbledygook to me.
And he's trying to, you know, he's figuring out a complex problem, but it's like, whoa.
But the
let's cut away during some of this, please.
The way
I wonder what Wesley's doing.
The way that he's doing it is he finds records of this woman, Dr. Leia Brahms, who was one of the designers of the Galaxy class vessel. And he's very impressed with her work. And he's like, wow, she wrote the book on propulsion. Computer, simulate Dr. Brahms' voice or something. And
Because that's how you really want your technical manuals given to you, as an audiobook.
Yeah.
So you can flip back to earlier sentences, I guess.
It doesn't make any sense. This is where he finds a thing about maybe she has this idea of alternating the crystals or like changing the how they're oriented in the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the order they fire, I
something
think.
Like that.
Yeah.
So he's like, well, I got to see this firsthand. It'd be best if I do a full simulation of how, when the and where the engine was being built. So holodeck, make a recreation of drafting room 5 when they were building the Enterprise, and I'm gonna go there and I'm gonna get in there firsthand. So he goes and he's looking around at the
Late 80s Doctor Who set.
Yeah. It really does look like an 80s Doctor Who set. There's like blueprints on glass of the engine, and outside you can see the window of the Enterprise being built.
So this didn't make my fun fact because I thought it was a lot of fun fact.
Yeah.
But that was originally supposed to be a room full of warp cores.
Oh.
But they couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
So they made it what it is. But it was originally supposed to be like a bunch of warp cores that they were all looking at and tinkering with.
Oh.
Because if you notice the whole time...
They're messing with pictures.
They're messing with pictures.
And like in the dialogue, it's like, I need to get in there.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be in... He was going to recreate a reactor that he could crawl inside of, but
I guess
safely.
That was the plan that they didn't have the cash for. That's a shame.
That sucks.
Yeah, it is.
Because this is way less interesting.
Well, and it's so analog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's talking with a computer about like,
he's just pointing at screens
and pointing at pictures
that he could have done in the existing engineering set.
And he also cut out his whole team who could also be working on this.
Yeah, Geordi's
going solo. Like the rest of engineering in this engineering crisis is just like having a break.
Well, Christy's normally there, but hey, you screwed that up, Geordi.
She's at home rethinking her life.
Right.
Wondering if she'll never get a
promotion. Trying to get a transfer on another vessel because her superior officer asked her on a terrible date.
Yeah, and then acted like a big jerk when she didn't want to hook up.
Yeah, so he's in there alone, and he's just working through the picture. He's like, talking to the computer, and then a hand shows up behind him, and there's a woman.
Out of nowhere.
And it's Dr. Brahms.
Yeah.
Well, he said to make her.
Right. He didn't understand that he was making a physical, version.
Yeah, like the computer Ruby Sparks'd up a Leah Brahms, and it goes about as well as that movie.
Yeah.
But Dr. Brahms is like very coldly delivering information, just like she was when she was just an audio recording, except it's, you know, kind of weird because she's a person.
Yeah.
And
it's like Small Wonder.
It's like Small Wonder. Yeah, it is.
She's delivering lines like Small Wonder,
which
but she's
was
a big wonder.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was also on TV in 1989.
Yeah. I also loved that show. Rewatch podcast of Small Wonder coming soon.
I think that already exists.
Oh, I'm sure.
But Geordi is like reporting this stuff back to the captain. And is like, look, you know, I'm figured out a way that we can divert more energy to boost up the shield. So I bought us just a little more time, but I got to have a little more so I can figure out how to get the engines working. So that's where they are. Is like, there's a lot of science bullshit that I don't understand, but the gist of it is, energy is being sapped by this booby trap, and they need to keep energy up on the shields so that nobody dies, but they also need energy to go to the engine so they can get out of there.
Mm-hmm. But the more energy they use, the more it gets sapped,
right,
and the stronger the radiation field is.
Yep. So they're like in quicksand, basically.
Yeah.
They're in a finger trap.
Yeah. So that's kind of... And that's in much fewer words than they use to explain.
Well, that's
the
majority
on.
Of the episode is just mm-hmm. talking about this booby trap.
Yeah, but
the majority. Majority. Nope. Edit. I thought there was
I
a
will
Geordie.
Not. I'm editing this one, and I will not. Take
I thought
that out.
I thought there was a good Geordie pun in there, but it doesn't work.
It's the majority. It's your Geordie. It's everybody's Geordie.
Yeah. More or less Geordie.
So
please, Patrick, edit that out.
No, I will not. I refuse. So what Geordi does to make this a little more watchable is, I guess he decides that he likes this Dr. Brahms character, and he says, well, hey, computer, can you make a personality profile? Because it's kind of weird talking to a flat affect. And it does, and it says, you know, we've calibrated his personality to 93%.
With a 9.37% margin of error for responses.
Right, and he's like, I
what
don't care.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
It means 9%
mean
of the time.
They have. Does the computer have, like, a 100% benchmark to measure against? Just use that.
Oh, that's a good point.
What are you comparing to? Past experience making ghosts of people?
That should be illegal.
Yeah.
Shouldn't this
you
be
think
illegal?
There'd be some kind of ethics violation yeah. going on here? Because I don't know if this woman is still alive or what. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's from a different time slightly.
Not that different of a time.
She'd
because,
be like
the Enterprise is brand new. It launched like 3 years ago, right?
Oh, okay.
So how long ago was she building it? She's still.
Wouldn't it be funny if he tried to find this lady in real life and then she hates him?
Cut to a future episode.
That would be incredible, wouldn't it? That would
just be amazing. You sound like a writer on Star Trek.
Well, it's funny because they are arguing, but he's attracted to her. Mm-hmm. And they're...
She's not real, Geordi!
She's not real, Geordi. So they're arguing, and then one of the things that they're arguing about is, I have this idea. She's the designer. You know, so she doesn't actually fly the ship. And he's like, no, what you're trying to say isn't going to work because you're talking about a prototype that hasn't flown. This thing has tens of thousands of light years on it. She's like, oh, damn it, you're right. I respect you.
I respect you after you did this ridiculous, explosion miming sound.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So bad.
Geordi's so weird.
It was a good argument until he had to make a noise.
Well, it's like a tin can deflating.
Yeah.
So he's like,
yeah. Oh, man. It's weird. It's
rough.
So it's hard to watch.
Geordi episodes like this are rough.
And
they
I
do.
Like Geordi as
Me
a
too.
Character, but it's just like, man, well, what the hell is he doing?
Yeah, when it's about his romantic interests, it's like Geordi is not like a leading man in that way.
So we learned that that in Star Trek, engineers and designers are the Oscars and Felixes of space.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it sounds like. They don't get along normally. Yeah.
In that show, they make out, right? The Odd Couple, it's a gay romance, right?
Right, yeah, that is exactly okay. what happens.
Well, because designers, it's all theoretical. And engineers, why don't designers like engineers?
There's one exchange where they're jealous of each other.
Right.
Yeah.
Engineers want to be, elbow deep making their ship, and
right.
designers would love to just be out there in space.
Right.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So Whatever. There's like a kind of a contentious...
A love-hate
relationship.
With the computer program of a real person.
I know.
Who's not in the room
who's
right
not,
now.
Yeah.
Who you've never even met.
Who has not consented to this happening. man, it's weird.
That would be a cool way to maintain a long-distance relationship, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah. If the other person were actually involved.
To you making a holodeck double of me.
Yeah, but this is just Geordi... And the real doll, it's...
if there's an 8% or 9% margin of error, there's a chance that you would like the holodeck version more
yeah.
than the real version.
Right. Oh, God. What a nightmare.
What if you fell in love with the proximity of the person you already love?
And then you could just... Hey, computer, change this one little bit.
Yeah.
Right. And then we're right back into Ruby Sparks.
You gotta get in there just obsessing about all the stuff that you can change about your significant other. It's like, Jordy, just go in there and be like, just do what Riker does. Just be like, computer,
whip
make
it out.
Yeah,
that's what he does.
Make
right?
a hot girl. Yeah, but yes! it's not a real person. It's not a person that exists in the real world. It's just a fantasy, and Riker understands that it's a fantasy. Geordi seems to be having some issues. Like, he just needs to go in there and be like, computer, make anime real. Yeah. Oh, God.
Well, Geordi needs a real date.
Yeah.
He needs to go on some dating website. I'm sure there's a Star mm-hmm. Trek Tinder.
Right.
There has to be.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, he's... He is a capable, qualified guy. I'm
just
sure.
Pitch that to some Ferengi. They will make billions on the ads. They will VC the hell out of Space Tinder.
Yeah, they would.
Yeah, but so as he's working on this, they find more data coils on the other ship. What they've found is that the booby trap is in these asteroids, and they have something called aceton assimilators, and it means that if you destroy the asteroids, you could maybe get rid of it. Problem is, they try to do that with the phasers. It just absorbs the energy, and it makes it worse. So now they're really in a race against the clock here.
So yeah, they're on emergency power. They have to turn off the holodecks.
Yeah, yeah. So
Picard killed Geordi's girlfriend.
He killed his girlfriend in front of his face, man.
Geordi looked heartbroken. Yeah. But she was never real. Geordi.
Jeez.
You know you got a problem if Wesley's doing better with women than you are.
I know, yeah. Yep.
And is better friends with the robot, too.
Yeah, poor Geordi.
Yep. So back in the observation lounge, we're talking about how exactly we're going to get out of this situation. Dr. Crusher says that they've got about a little less than 30 minutes to get out of there until the shields fall, and then you're going to have to start worrying about everyone dying. Geordi is saying, hey, Picard, look, got to reinstate the holodeck. Put all power to my imaginary girlfriend, who is also a real person. Hear me out on this. I've run this simulation. He doesn't explain to him everything about what's going on, but he's saying that.
Well, would you?
Right. No, this is very embarrassing. He just says that it's a simulation that he has so he can figure out how to divert energy to the thrusters so they can get out of there and still survive. So Picard's like, well, yes, of course I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah.
Yeah,
he does picturing a room full of warp drives.
He doesn't right. ask the follow-up question like, okay, why can't you do it with your highly trained specialist team?
Yeah, exactly.
We're feeding and paying. And
right. But he's like, you can do it. You only got 1 hour. So he's like, all right. Goes back. He sees Brahms there. They get right back to trying to fix.
They start flirting, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, dude, you got 1 hour. Everyone's going to die, Geordi.
And you're sucking up the most energy right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Who cares about Italian food? She can't eat.
Yeah.
She's not real.
Yeah, so they find some kind of solution. He's like, do you like Italian food? And it's like, God damn it, Geordi.
She starts rubbing his back when
yeah.
he gets frustrated. And you're like, ah, no time for that. You've got an hour.
Yeah, everyone will die, dude. But then Picard comes in.
Oh, and Geordi gets real awkward.
Yeah, he forgot yeah. to lock the door.
You can't lock the door.
He keeps stopping himself every time he tries to introduce her as a person, like a simulation
right.
of Dr. Leah
We,
Brahms.
I mean me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Picard doesn't seem too taken aback, but he's just like,
oh, you needed an expert, so oh, okay, you phoned a yeah. friend, whatever.
That makes sense. Totally normal.
I didn't see you guys rubbing each other's back or talk about Italian food, so yeah. to me, this seems fine.
Don't understand why your pants are off, but, you know, I guess whatever makes it work faster. So this is really weird. This is a really weird episode so far. It really just hit me how odd this one is.
Yeah.
Everyone almost died, and Geordi went on this weird, shitty date with someone who actually exists in the real world, but this is a fake body pillow version mm-hmm. that he is talking to.
So twice in this episode, Geordi has abused his power.
Yeah.
Once by having a somebody on his team go on a date with him.
Yep.
And imply that she needed to have sex with him. And when she didn't, he got physically upset. Not like at her, but just like kind of turned her back.
Yeah.
To her.
Yeah, like, oh, bummer.
Boo you, girl. You're not a person. You're an object. And then, yeah, he stole the form and figure and mind mm-hmm. of somebody who doesn't even know he exists.
And all this power that could be going into buying them more time if they right. were just working on, like, paper
yeah.
and blueprints.
He convinced him to put all of the power in the holodeck. But the one thing that he does get out of this is he tells Picard, like, I think I found a solution. Dr. Brahms here has this idea where we could maybe get out of this if we give all power of the ship over to the computer. Mm-hmm. Because it would require immediate reflexes that a human does not have.
Right.
That's the only way that we can do it.
To act in the grace period before the booby trap reacts.
Yeah. So he's like, well, I don't like that. Picard clearly doesn't like that idea, but he's like, okay, I guess so.
He doesn't want to give his fate up to a computer.
Yeah. No, right. I really like the scene before that where they actually come up with the idea where hologram Leah says, I could do it.
Right.
And he's still thinking she's a person, and then he figures out, oh, the computer
she's not
speaking
a human
in the
being.
First person.
Yeah.
Like, the computer's sentient right now and saying what it can do.
I've got a theory. I don't know if now is the time.
Hey, no, go ahead.
All right, the ship's computer is in love with Geordi, right? Like, that's obvious,
Whoa.
Right?
Well, he does talk about how, like, I know this ship, and then Brahms is like, I am the ship.
Yeah, and, like, whenever you look at the engines, you're looking at me.
Yeah, and he's interpreting this as, this is what Dr. Brahms is saying, but she's not
like, no.
there. This is the computer talking to him.
The computer created a Pinocchio and then filled it with itself so it can have a relationship with Geordi LaForge.
Geordi's like one of, he's going to end up being one of those dudes that has sex with the gas port in a car.
No, he's not.
Captain, there's some residue.
Edit yourself saying this.
There's a biological residue on the dilithium crystal.
No!
Poor Geordi.
But I think you're absolutely right, man.
Yeah.
I never have thought about it that way, but him falling in love, yeah. Thank you for dropping the pen, pretending it's the mic, and not dropping
well,
the mic.
Well, there's enough editing going on.
No, I'm not going to take any of this out.
No, wait! But still, wow. I think you're right. Geordi also loves the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we see that time and time again. So there you go. That's why Geordi can't get a girlfriend.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So we got room for one lady in his life, and her name is Enterprise.
In the ready room, Picard is talking to Riker about this proposal that Geordi brought up to him.
And it looks like they forgot to light the scene.
Well, it looks like that,
but power.
There's no power.
There's a reason, but everybody's in stark shadow. It's not that
it doesn't
dramatic.
Look good.
They
no.
could just shift it a little bit and it'd have an effect.
Yeah, it doesn't look good.
It's a near miss, but it's a miss.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think maybe it's because of budget cutbacks on the show in general.
Probably.
They're like, well, at least we can shoot half of this one without any lights on. We don't need a key grip today, guys.
Yeah. But he goes back to the ship in a bottle metaphor about how he wants to have human control over the ship. Because, yeah, the computer, it can do these lightning quick reflexes, but it can't come up with a creative solution to these problems. But he feels he doesn't really have a choice. And this is where Geordi and Brahms are going through all these different simulations, and it's kind of a 50-50 shot of whether or not mm-hmm. the ship survives in the computer simulation. And then he comes up with an idea, is like, well, we can just turn the ship around, and that'll, like, I guess that's the creative human approach.
Yeah. So their options are either to have the ship pilot them out on autopilot, making these thousands of decisions and alterations per nanosecond, or just one big pulse and then blind steering by human hands.
Right.
Yeah, turn it all off. Cut out all the power. Because mm-hmm. then it can't react and pull it back into the booby trap. Right.
And this is what they decide to do. Everything except for thrusters is going to be turned off, and then that way maybe they can avoid the booby trap having a reaction and give them just enough time to escape. But you would need a person at the helm to actually do it. That's going to be Captain Picard.
Yeah, he tells Wesley, no, get out of here, kid.
Yeah,
I'm
at the helm.
This. Yeah, I'm driving.
I love that the argument for this case is presented by Geordi saying, no way a computer can compensate for the human factor. This is the dude who just spent an
yep.
hour being fooled into thinking a computer simulation is a real human woman date.
Yep.
Also,
are you speaking from experience, or are you just that deluded today, Geordi?
Dude, I don't know. It's really weird, but they go through. This is, I think, the first time I've seen the helm controls.
The D-pad?
It's a D-pad.
Yeah.
He's just hitting a D-pad, and he's moving the ship around, and Data's calculating. He's like, oh, we're not going to get out of here. But then
it controls like Mega Man X for iOS.
Basically. Yeah. But then Picard starts piloting the ship towards a huge asteroid, and Data's saying, oh, the gravity from the asteroid is increasing our velocity. And he keeps getting it closer and closer, and then gets to the point where he can turn the ship around in the orbit of the asteroid, mm-hmm. and the gravity slingshots them out.
He does a little Tokyo Drift and saves the day.
Yeah, he Tokyo Drifts the way out of the booby trap.
A computer would have came up with that idea. You know, probably. 88% of accidents are human error.
Yeah.
So
are the other 12% self-driving cars?
No, I just saw a study on it. It's like it's the human did whatever they could. It just happened.
There's a whole argument, though, between these plans of like, oh, turning control of the ship over to the computer. Isn't that just a matter of degrees?
Right.
Like, so yeah. much of the ship, it should be, like, practically speaking, realistically, automated by the computer.
Done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have no idea why Picard still...
Where do you draw the line, you romantic archaeologist bald man?
I guess right here. This is because he really wanted to... He was super into that ship in a bottle idea, and it almost got them killed.
Yeah.
And now it just barely saved their lives. So they also blow up the ship to make sure
just
that
in case.
No one else gets trapped into this horrible mess.
But that doesn't solve the booby trap problem. This is the other thing that drives me crazy
about
this episode.
I thought it was in the asteroids. They removed the bait, but it's still in the asteroids.
Yeah, exactly. So if anyone drives through those asteroids, they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
They don't have to cover it, but I assume they sent a message to Starfleet just like, hey, put this on the charts. Here be boobies, but not the fun kind.
Yeah, you'd get Riker going there right away.
Yeah, so...
A what trap?
Oh? I'm in!
Is there a desert? There jazz music? Geordi goes back to the holodeck, and he's talking to Leia Brahms about, you know, technology does all these amazing things. It's created you. You created the ship. It could give me eyesight. But, you know, sometimes you got to turn it off. And this is where she says the thing about, you know, every time you're working on the ship, I'm there, you know, because I am the ship. And I think you are right, Grant. This is the computer talking to Geordi. It's not Brahms.
It's obviously not Brahms.
Right. Well, yeah, it's not her at all, but it's not the program Brahms.
Yeah,
It's the computer. And they kiss, and Geordi shuts off the holodeck program. And that's that episode.
So I guess the question there is, did Geordi grow? Did he learn?
I don't know.
Was he getting one last kiss before he's like, wow, I was fucking dumb?
It depends. It depends on how he views the situation in the future.
Yeah.
If he looks at it and says, you know what? That was a situation where I learned how to be myself and how to be confident. I will apply this to my actual human relationships in the future. Great. If he... is just going to retreat into this fantasy?
Yeah, but yeah,
that's bad.
You can easily see, oh, Saturday night, time to meet Leah.
I know. Like, so yeah, it's a toss-up for me. I hope he chooses the first option.
Deep Space Nine gets really deep into that concept of using the holosuites in Deep mm-hmm. Space Nine as your escape. I will also say, knowing the future episodes, Geordi didn't learn shit.
Oh, Geordi. I was rooting for you, buddy.
Yeah, but he doesn't
learn
anything.
Had to go screw it up.
Yeah. Well, Grant,
yeah,
this is the part of Pat Trek where mm-hmm. we like to rate what we just saw. If we thought it was amazing, must watch Star Trek, we set to kill. If it was pretty good and it comes up in the queue and you want to give it a watch, we set it to stun. And if it's horrible, avoid at all costs, we leave it in the holster. So, Patrick, what did you think of this?
Leave in the holster.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Bottom of the barrel.
Dude, I was entertained, but for the wrong reasons. I'm sorry. Like, we had a string of really good episodes.
Yeah, great ones.
And this one was just too creepy and awkward for me to enjoy. And you're never going to come up with, you know, you're never going to encounter the menthols or the bromeliads again. You don't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no important thing that you're missing. If someone's just like, hey, what's Geordi's relationship like with women? You just explain to them he's bad at it. That's all you need to know. You don't need to watch this one.
Wow. Grant, what did you think?
Poor Gordo. this one's tough because it's certainly not amazing, but there's a degree to which it is must watch.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, as a measure of quality, I'm going to have to agree with Pat, leave it in the holster. But just like this one has to be seen to be believed. This is set to kill. And I do mean that literally. Someone needs to die.
You gave it a set to kill for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I, for my own reasons. Judge them as you choose.
For me, it's set to stun. Simply for one reason, and that is that you are completely wrong that nothing from this episode comes back.
Oh,
you are completely wrong. So there's a future episode that will come up that's not that much better, but not a terrible episode where a lot of things from this one are referenced. So if it comes up, you're laying on the couch, you know, you're binging through Star Trek, don't skip it. But, you know, I don't think you really
got to hunt
this
out. It's got the ship in a bottle scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Ship in the Bottle is one of my favorite Star Trek Next Generation episodes ever, and that's coming up in the future. This one references it a bunch, but doesn't actually have a ship in the bottle at any moment.
Yeah, neither did this one.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This one didn't have
that. Yeah.
The one in the future does.
Oh.
Anyway, not great Star Trek. We came off of a really hot streak,
too. Yeah. We were riding high for a little while.
Yeah. Well, speaking of rating things,
we
got a new review.
That's
right. Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
It's hard out there.
It's always nice.
Know it.
Yeah. Well, we love getting them because it helps more people find the show.
Exactly.
And so what Patrick and I have said is if you leave us a review, no matter what you leave, one of us will read it on the show.
Pat will read it.
Yeah, Pat will read it.
I don't know.
So as I teased, I agree with this reviewer 100%.
Okay.
Subject line, grade inflation? So, basically, anything I write, you guys have to say, right?
Yes.
Nah, I'm kidding. I love this podcast. Having a true fan and a soon-to-be convert.
We don't know yet.
You know it's going to happen, Mr. Winnegar. Resistance is futile.
It's like that thing from the show.
Yeah, it's like the board. Go over the series episode by episode is both entertaining and informative. The speculation about the holodeck, while still hinted at, has calmed down some. Ooh, not in this episode.
No, sorry. I apologize.
Hey, it's the writer's fault.
Come on. They keep doing this. I'm not going to not talk about it.
With all the good being said, I only have one negative. Mr. Winnegar, whenever you say you won't give something a set to kill because of grade inflation, I internally groan. If something is good, it shouldn't matter whether or not too many top marks have been given. You should go with how the episode did or did not engage you without worrying about how many of the particular grade is floating around. That's all I have to say about that. Keep up the good work and a good day to you gentlemen. That's from Honeywell Badger. Thanks a lot for the review.
Yeah, thank you. Thank
you
for listening.
Honeywell Badger did a lot of stuff about grade curving on Rate My Professor.
Yeah, I always had that complaint too. So I sympathize, but here's the main sticking point. I'm not that big of a Star Trek fan.
What?
I'm not. I'm sorry.
No way.
That's the whole thing behind the show. That's
why
we're doing it.
Were you just surprised by the concept behind your own podcast?
Right.
I thought I was
winning him over.
Yeah, but not yet.
I really thought we were making some great
traction. I have never gotten into it, so I'm just not as into it as you are. That's the premise of the show.
Yeah. Well, I know that's where we started. I didn't think that's where we are today.
Yeah, but it's been a long journey.
We're in the middle of season 3.
And there's been so many set to kill episodes.
Yeah.
How can you not be
there's
into
been
this?
Some good ones. We just disagree on which ones are set to kill. That's it.
Oh,
I say the great
man.
Inflation thing because I don't want to hurt y'all's feelings. I just don't like it as much as a lot of y'all do.
Stop it.
That's it.
Stop it.
I'm sorry. I don't want to hurt anybody.
I hate today.
Just be happy that even an episode like Booby Trap can get a set to kill. All right?
Yeah.
I enjoyed watching it.
See?
But I had fun watching Star Trek with my friends, but, you know, it wasn't a particularly good episode. I'm sorry.
I know that this one wasn't a great episode.
There have been some great.
There's been such good episodes. There's... How can you not be into Star Trek now? How can you not want to finish the series at this
point? No, I'm going to finish the series.
Yeah, because you agreed to do it.
Well, yeah, and you know, there's some good episodes here. It's just not a thing that I ever got into, so I don't have, like, any kind of nostalgia. I don't have any kind of, like, deep family ties, and like, I have no memories of watching this with my dad or anything. I'm going into this completely new. So there have been some great episodes. There have been some pretty bad ones. I've heard it gets a lot better, too.
Well, we're in the era where it's better.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
It had season three has been good.
Yeah.
This is good television. Yeah.
I think the finale is some of the best that they made.
Yeah.
So look forward to that.
All right.
Eventually.
It is a good episode.
Many, many weeks from now.
Yeah. So it's not great inflation.
I've been lying to you this whole time.
You've been lying to me.
I'm sorry. I just didn't like it as much.
Oh. I don't know what hurts worse.
Sorry.
The lies or the fact that you don't.
It's the lies.
It's the lies, yeah. I know what hurts. I really thought I was making a lot more headway than I was.
Well, we got to keep doing the show.
Yeah. Your resistance is futile. Yeah. Honeywell Badger is right.
I don't want to... Yeah, thank you for the review, and thank you for listening, by the way.
You've just alienated everybody who listens to this show. Now they all hate you.
I've been lying to everyone this whole time.
Well, Grant, is there anything you want to talk about, plug, before we get out of here?
Oh, goodness. This episode just got twice as long. No. how about... Okay, if you enjoyed hearing me recap a TV episode, you should check out my show, Sex Archie, where my wife and I recap every episode of Riverdale immediately after it airs. We try to get it up the next day. That's a lot of fun.
Awesome.
If you liked me and Pat O talking about Star Trek things, you should check out 6 Feet Under, an actual play podcast. One of our recent episodes, he was on as a guest, and we played Lasers and Feelings and had a really good time.
Yeah, we basically recreated a Star Trek episode.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the probably more garbage Star Trek episodes. Hey. I had so much fun playing that.
No, we all did. And we got some great fan art out of that one. That was really cool. If you like me talk about stuff in the past, we're starting to get really strained. You should check out History Honeys, another podcast my wife and I do, where every week we talk about a historical topic and teach each other some cool stuff. And if you want something completely unrelated, you should check out chipandironicus.com, where my best friend from high school and I, we do Let's Play videos of video games. We have a monthly podcast attached to that, all sort of gaming related fun.
Very cool.
So, awesome. Yeah, that's my 4.5 shows.
I'm into that History Honeys thing. I haven't heard that one yet, so I'm going to give that a listen.
Oh, thank you.
Cool.
Check it
cool.
out.
Patrick, anything you want
to
talk about?
No, man. Keep listening to the show. We have another very special tabletop Star Trek Adventures thing coming out. So look forward to that. And keep leaving us reviews. Thanks for the one that we got today.
Yeah, thank you so much. And hopefully all of your reviews won't make me as mad at my good friend Patrick as this one.
It wasn't the review.
No, the review was right. I agreed with the review.
It was my fault.
It's what it sparked afterwards has really put me into a sour mood. And now I got to go watch Logan, and I'm just going to be mad.
Dude,
I
heard it's good.
I
heard
it looks like it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to be sulking the whole walk to the Logan Theater.
Well, you know, Wolverine loves to sulk, so.
Yeah. So tune in next time to Pigrant Trek, where at least you know where you stand.
Yeah, exactly. Please listen to The Dungeon Rats. It's an interactive actual play podcast where me and my friends are playing Dungeons & Dragons together, and every encounter magical item has been submitted by you, the listener. It's been a blast to make, and it's a lot of fun. And you can check that out at thedungeonrats.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at PatLikesATweet, because Facebook is for noobs.
Let's see what's out there.
Peaches. Hot sauce. Peaches.